Hey there, I'm Matt Tommy, and over the last 10 years, I've helped thousands of Christian artists all over the world start thriving spiritually, artistically, and in the marketplace, while at the same time building my own super successful art business. If you're ready to bust through the roadblocks that have held you back for years, create the work you love, and really live the life you know God created you to live in His kingdom, then you're in the right place, my friend. Now, with over 500,000 downloads, you're listening to the Thriving Christian Artist Podcast. Hey, my friend, I'm so glad that you're with me on the podcast today. You know, today's going to be a fun podcast, although we're talking about anxiety, because I get to talk to a friend of mine and her husband, Dina and Jason Hobbs, who Dina and I were actually camp counselors together way back a long time ago. I'm not going to tell you how many years, but it was a long time. Back at an incredible place called Camp Glisten in Dahlonega, Georgia. We both worked there, and it was a wonderful Christian camp. And, you know, you work with somebody for, we were camp counselors together for a week, and then summer ends, you go your separate ways and that sort of thing. And 20 plus years later, we reconnected and through just a funny circumstance we talk about in the interview. And it's amazing how the work that they're doing now with helping folks with anxiety and really walking in freedom and learning how to walk in freedom as people who love the Lord and want to walk in everything that He's got for us. So I'm super excited for them to be on the podcast today. They've written a wonderful book called When Anxiety Strikes, and it's not just a book, it's actually a journey that you walk through to begin to experience healing in this area in your life. And so just real excited to bring this to you today. And of course, you can grab the book and all their other resources at the link that's right here below in the podcast show notes. Now, before we jump in, you know, I love to give a shout out to my listeners. And today's is from General John over on Apple Podcasts. And it says, love, love, love Matt Tommy's podcasts, mentoring program, and Facebook communities. Matt is always relevant, relatable, and brimming with revelation. He touches on both the spiritual and the practical aspects of creating art. For those who are pursuing a career in the arts, his teaching is invaluable. Well, John, thank you so much, man, for giving a review and letting everybody know that the podcast is a valuable resource in your life. That means a huge amount to me and to my team, and especially as we continue to create episodes just like this one that are going to be really valuable and encouraging to you. So thanks a lot. Listen, if you're out there and if you've not reviewed or subscribed to the podcast, please take a moment and do that. It really means a lot to me and to our team just to let us know that we're going forward and on the right page. And if you'll just use whatever app you're listening to, there's a place that you can review and subscribe. Do that. Leave us a little note. And who knows, maybe I'll feature your review here on the podcast as we continue doing that in coming days. All right. Well, friends, I love you very much. I'm going to get out of the way. Here's my friends, Jason and Dina Hobbs, talking about when anxiety strikes. Well, hey, my friends, I'm so glad that you're with me on the podcast today. I'm so excited to have some new friends with me. And I'm going to tell you, some are new and some are old. And this is an interesting part of this. But Jason and Dina Hobbs, who are here with a brand new book called When Anxiety Strikes. And wow, guys, so excited that y'all are here and able to share your story and about the new book. Welcome to the Thriving Christian Artist.
Thanks, Matt. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Now, I have to just give a little caveat because I think it's kind of cool. Matt, through a mutual friend of ours, Diana Flagel, who's an incredible book agent and that sort of thing. And I saw your new book on her Facebook. I was like, oh my gosh, this sounds like a fabulous book. I would love to read it. And so Jason reached out and we started Facebooking, and then Dina came in and we started saying, huh, your name sounds familiar. Like, I think I might know you. Were you at Camp Glisten back in the 90s? And I was like, oh, yeah, were you? Y'all, we were co-counselors together at summer camp. What now, 20 plus years?
Oh, too long ago.
Yeah, you're probably going to be careful with the calculation.
I know, exactly. Only 5 years ago.
All right.
But it was like, wow, how the Lord brings our paths back together. And so it even was more fun to think about having you guys on the podcast. But for those folks who don't know you, they're just getting to know who you are and everything. Why don't you guys just briefly introduce yourself, where you're from, and kind of what you're doing professionally right now, and then we'll jump into the book. So,
sure. So my name is Jason Hobbs. I am a clinical social worker in private practice. So I see a lot of kids and adolescents, but work with a fair amount of adults, a few couples here and there. Have been in practice for over 15 years. Start out working in homeless services. I have a Master of Social Work, which is, you know, the background for the license, but also have a Master of Divinity. So pastored a United Methodist congregation for a few years, grew up Southern Baptist. So we've kind of run the gamut of some of these circles. So, yeah, and now find ourselves in an Episcopal congregation. So
isn't that great?
We've been all over the place.
You're in good company, so don't worry. I think we're all just these transient people when it comes to our faith. So, yeah, how about you, Dina?
And I'm Dina Hobbs. I'm married to Jason, and I also have a Master of Divinity. I graduated from Union Theological Seminary in Richmond, which is a Presbyterian school. So we got that in there as well. And while I was at Union, I developed or was diagnosed with panic disorder. I had had a level of anxiety in my life already. And then I took a medication that was a catalyst that kind of took my anxiety from like a 7 to an 11. If we're doing the spinal tap chart. Wow. So I developed some pretty significant panic attacks at the end of my last year in seminary. But the silver lining to that is being in such a supportive, caring environment, I was able to get very quickly referred to therapists. And I had a good general practitioner at the time who referred me to a psychiatrist. So I quickly got into a cradle of good care, taking care of all the parts of me and had people that were checking on me. So I count myself fortunate that, you know, I was only having active panic attacks maybe for a week or two before I got into a pretty good system of care, which makes a huge difference if anyone's struggling with panic attacks. And then, you know, as life goes up and down, my anxiety spikes or it lessens. And throughout the decades, I have made it a habit to learn how to manage that. And at some point, we decided to write a book about it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, it's interesting. I think when you go to write a book, I've written, you know, several myself, and it's like, the best books, I think, are always out of our own journey, right? Because that's kind of what we've developed authority in our own life, or at least we're willing to share the struggle and where we found, you know, strength in that. Dina, roll the tape back, because I think for, you know, I'm thinking of you now as a seminarian, you know, a young woman. You guys were married at the time.
We were maybe a year and a half into our marriage, newlyweds.
Yeah. So I'm just imagining, you know, Tanya and I have been married for 23 years. I'm imagining those first years for ourselves and how kind of not rocky, but how just, you know, you're learning each other and you're learning.
Oh, it's an adjustment. Sure. It is an adjustment.
For sure.
And you're also in seminary, which the pressure of all that. I'm just interested, how did you translate that into your own heart of, wow, I'm giving my life, going after God in every way I know how to serve him with my life. And now I'm struggling with this. And just by virtue of it being something that is an internal issue, it's not a cut on your hand or a broken leg. A lot of times people around us don't know how to deal with that. And so what was that like, and how are you processing that, not only internally, but also with the Lord and with each other?
I think initially, I mean, and because, like I said earlier, I was surrounded by this network of care, people were like, okay, you know, you took this medicine, your body's biochemistry changed, and we've got to get that back. So people helped me frame it early on in terms of the medical parts of my body were also struggling.
Yeah.
And so that was helpful, and that I didn't just blame it on myself personally, like something had happened to my body chemistry. But there were certainly the moments where, you know, I was on the floor praying, Jesus, take this from me.
Right.
And Jesus didn't take it from me.
Yeah.
You know, I, you know, prayed so hard, you know, I know you can heal me. I know you can heal me. I know you can heal me. And whereas God did heal me, it was not immediate, right? So I think I did struggle with that of why, when I feel like I have done everything, you know, I've given my entire life for you, I'm dedicating my entire life for you. You know, you let me go through this. So big wrestling with the questions of evil, which, you know, it's not a bad thing for a seminarian.
Sure, that's right.
I
mean,
I don't want to make too much fun of that because it was intensely painful and difficult at the time. I mean, there were a lot. We had the couch that I called like the couch of tears. I mean, it was intensely painful at the time, and all I could do was really hang on. And I think that's a lot of what we do when we're in like the crisis of if you've gotten diagnosed with a significant anxiety disorder instead of like low level anxiety. Sometimes all you can do is hang on.
Yeah.
Until the medicine kicks in and it eased up a little bit. It was probably my second spike of anxiety where I really started to, and I was a pastor at that time, and life stress got, things weren't going well at the church. We got a new senior pastor and there was a lot of conflict, and that triggered another anxiety episode. And I worked out a lot more emotional and spiritual issues with my therapist at that time, because I didn't go to the intense panic attacks, you know, because I wasn't in the crisis place physically. And I think during that time, I was able to more wrestle with, okay, you know, I'm a minister and yet this is still happening to me. Why is that? And, I mean, it changed my theology. I came to some different places of what I believe and how I believe God walks with us and what our relationship with Jesus is like. And
well, I think a lot of us are comfortable with the theology of God delivering us from the fire, but not delivering us in the fire, right? I mean,
we're not walking through the fire with us.
That's
more of a theology of presence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And healing, and the ideas of healing and wholeness means something different.
Yeah, Isaiah 43 is one of our favorite passages. When you walk through the waters, you will not be consumed. Gosh, I'm getting it all wrong. I should have been a Baptist that I could quote this.
The waters will not overwhelm you, and the fire will not consume you.
Thank you, my Southern Baptist.
Well, and some of that is in our hymnody as well.
That's true. Yeah, but we walk through the struggle and we are not consumed by it, but it doesn't mean that we still keep walking through the struggle. It's just that God walks with us, and that gives us enough strength and enough comfort and enough something I don't even have the word for, that we make it through. And then that changes us. You know, that fire also purifies us and it makes us stronger. And I'm a different person because of what I've been through. And I don't know that I would rewind and take that away.
Yeah, I love that.
It gave me gifts to go through some of that struggle.
Yeah, I mean, to me, part of that is a theology of the cross.
Yes,
that, you know, it's about moving through the suffering.
Yeah.
With Jesus.
And there's lots of dark, difficult places in that. And then even after resurrection, I mean, when Jesus appears again, there are still wounds.
Yeah.
There's still a sense in which, oh, this wound is still here. It doesn't mean that there's not healing, there's not wholeness, and there's not new life, but the wound may still be there.
Right. Talk about, you know, as you, Jason, on the other side of this, learning to walk with your wife who you love, and you're in ministry as well and in a helping profession. What was that like? Because I think a lot of folks, you know, in that position maybe would throw up their hands and be like, I don't know how to deal with it. I can deal with this professionally. That's one thing. But now when this is in my home and with somebody I love, I mean, what was that like? How did you learn to walk with, as opposed to just praying for deliverance, you know?
Yeah. And those are, and for me at that point, educationally, it was an interesting place in that in the MSW curriculum, the Master of Social Work, there's a point at which you're doing a lot with diagnostics and, you know, learning the DSM. Well, it was a DSM-4 at the time, now 5. But, you know, I was able to sort of reframe some of this as a brain disorder, as our brain being an organ, just in the same way that, you know, if your pancreas was not functioning properly, then that looks like diabetes.
Right.
There's a way in which we have to reinterpret that. And reinterpreting that takes it out of that kind of like moral sphere or spiritual sphere where it's like, oh, well, somebody's doing something wrong and that's why this is happening. And so I was in a place where educationally I was getting some good information and understanding. But then, you get into the personal aspect to that. And so, you know, now you've got an anxiety disorder or whatever, you know, somebody may be facing in the context of a relationship, and it does change the dynamics to an extent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, that's the same way, you know, to reframe that again, you think, oh, well, if suddenly something else had been diagnosed, if it had been cancer, if it had been anything else, well, you know, you learn about the disease. You say, you know, sweetheart, I'm with you, and you hold hands and you say, all right, let's see what we're going to do to make it through this.
Right. Right. I love that. Talk about, you know, your then in writing this book, this approach that you developed, because I love it that it just seems so healthy to me, again, as an outsider and as a non-clinician, I guess I would say, you know, this is not a, like on one side, name it and claim it, you're just going to get better and Jesus will deliver you and that'll be it. And at the same time, it's not lay down and accept this and I'll never get better. There is this beautiful middle ground where you've learned to walk spirit, soul, and body, walk through this with and develop a process now that is really so cohesive and so convergent, I think, for all parts of you. How did you come to that, Dina? And did y'all come to that together? Or because the thing I love about the book is it's not just a book that you read, it's actually a journey that you walk through, a journey yes. of healing. So talk a little bit about how this developed.
I'd say we 100% came to that together, if not Jason. Jason's the organizer in the family. So like when we were talking about writing the book, he sat down one weekend and outlined the entire book. And I was like, wow.
Love it.
Go. But he very intentionally chose for the first three chapters to be body focused. You yes. start with the breath. You start with learning how to do deep breathing. And then we talk a little bit about, you know, your body, like what you're eating, because caffeine, you know, friends, if you have anxiety, you may have to start weaning down your coffee. And I know that is not what we want to hear.
Yeah, yeah.
Your chocolate or your tea or your whatever, or, you know, watch your food triggers or watch the medications you're taking or medications maybe you need to be taken. So body was our second chapter. And then the third chapter was movement, because as much as you can do walking, swimming, whatever your movement is to get your heart rate up, that's incredibly healing.
And a lot of that, Matt, is really grounded in the science of what we know now about anxiety and also about trauma, that there's a way in which until you get that system, and that's your sympathetic nervous system. So it's, yeah. you know, it's all these lower functions with your amygdala, all the automatic stuff like heart rate, you know, chest tightening, breathing. Until you get some of that calmed and soothed, it's really hard to work on the areas where you start to adjust thoughts and start to live in a different way and make mm-hmm. some different choices. I mean, when you are in a state of fight or flight, then really it feels as if there are only two choices. Right. You know, I either go left or I go right because this strong threat is after me.
Right.
And so, you know, the science really does say that until you get that physical self calm down, it's really hard to work on the mental self.
Mm-hmm. I love that, guys, because you wouldn't know this, but in our mentoring program, and I mean, kind of the core, one of the big cores of what I teach and, you know, helping us bring transformation in the lives of artists is Romans 12, 2, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously, as we take thoughts captive, we compare them to the Word of God. You know, we get rid of the old thoughts, replace them with new. But yes. I love what you're saying, which I totally believe, is that there's this foundational element of your body that you can't just set that to the side. You got to pay attention to that. And I think so many Christians, I mean, I'll just call it on the carpet. You know, I grew up, you know, going to Methodist covered dish suppers, and we loved to eat whatever, you know, and our bodies were kind of the thing that nobody ever paid attention to. And I love that you are able to honor this beautiful temple, this beautiful vehicle that God's given us. And at the same time say, hey, if you don't pay attention to this, it's having direct effect on how you're you know, able to walk in and walk into what I would call thriving, just living the life that God's called you to live. So do you get pushback from people? I'm sure you do. I mean, from, well, I just want to change this. I'm not ready to change my diet yet. I mean,
well, it's a process.
Yeah.
I mean, the thing is, in one of the chapters we talk about, you know, the process of change, and there's some kind of neat research around that. And you really do have to think about change more as a spiral than a straight line.
I love that.
And what I mean by that is there's a way in which, you know, we make a big change. And so you see, you know, progress and things are getting better. But, you know, there might be some kind of relapse on the back end of that.
Mm.
But the relapse doesn't take you all the way to the bottom.
Right.
And the relapse is an opportunity. Because then you can say, like, well, you know, what didn't work this time? What can I change? What was it about my plan that's not working now that was working then? And begin to kind of readjust that so that you can continue moving forward, but knowing that there's going to be some ups and downs on that journey.
Yeah.
And I think in the book, we try to focus on making small changes, because if you tell someone you've got to do this, 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 and this right away, that's going to be super intimidating.
Right.
And if you're already hurting and struggling, that's so hard. So we try to have a really gracious voice of do what you can.
Yeah.
You know, if you can walk, you know, a quarter of a mile, that's okay. And then, you know, you can work up from that. If you can run like Jason, that's great too. You know, just start where you are and make small changes. And so even I think when you cut sugar out of your coffee, I mean, you did it very gradually. Mm-hmm. You did not do it all at one time. Or, you know, when you give up caffeine, don't do it all at one time. Yeah, you know, exactly. Cut back slowly. Yeah. So, you know,
we'll find out what anxiety is about, right? If
you do right, right.
So, well, anger too.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah.
It's so funny, y'all. I've been on this journey this year. It's funny, the Lord is. I've been doing so much mindset work in my own journey of trauma stuff that happened to me as a kid and sexual abuse as a teenager. And there's all this stuff. So over the last 15 years, that's been my journey of coming into healing from that. But the interesting thing is, as I've learned to walk in healing in those areas, and that came into my business and my finances. And now earlier this year, the Lord was like, well, you know, all this mindset stuff that you've been teaching everybody else, you know, you can do that with your body as well. And I was like, oh, really? And so I think at this point I've lost 37 pounds, which I'm so excited. But just to give everybody hope, talking about relapse, the other day I was having a stressful moment and I walked out into my studio, into the kitchen, and there sat a lone jar of peanut butter and a jar of honey. And there was a spoon there.
Oh,
and I was just like,
behind me, Satan.
No, but I didn't. I just said, come on in. And I got me a big old hunk of that peanut butter. And then I dipped that in the honey. And I was like, oh, God, this is so good.
Oh, man.
But, you know, we have those moments, right? All of us have those peanut butter and honey moments that I think, you know, the thing the enemy wants to do. And I think, you know, this is just natural for everybody. He wants to come and bring shame and accusation and all this kind of stuff. And that is where I think the beauty of realizing that spiral of moving from glory to glory to glory is that, the righteous fall seven times and get back up. It's in the getting back up that we see 100%. The continued journey. And
get back up. And
somebody's sitting right there today. I know that, you know, so many artists out there all over the world, anxiety can, and fear and overwhelm, that can be one of the big markers of artists and creative people. Obviously we want to tell people to get the book, and we're going to tell them how to do that in just a few minutes. But if there were one or two things that you said, you know what, start here and just start doing, you know, this thing or that thing, this will help to get you on the road to starting to bring some peace and some order into the situation. I know that's a blanket diagnosis and help for somebody, but where would you start with somebody just in general?
I know what I want to say. What do you want to say?
Well, I was just going to say, start with the breath.
Mm.
I mean, and there is a way in which that breath is grounding, because it's going to happen regardless of what you do. But just settling into that physical sensation of the breath coming in and out. And there's certainly a way that, you know, for those of us who are people of faith, to, you know, breathe with the spirit and breathe knowing that God is that breath that's moving in and out of you, the same breath that moved over the face of the waters in the beginning. To just know that and to start there, and as much as possible to make a practice out of that. So to take a few times through your day and to say, all right, I'm just going to set myself a timer, 2 minutes, 3 minutes in the beginning, maybe up to 10 minutes, and just focus on the breath, knowing that other thoughts are going to jump in. And that's okay, because that's what your brain does.
Yep.
And you recognize it and you're like, okay, let me come back to the breath, and be gentle with yourself through that.
Yeah, I love that. Dina?
I have three things. So one is take a walk every day, because that's not only good for your body, that's good for your creativity as well. You know, sometimes before I write, I'll take a walk and that just gets me right there ready to go. Watch your all or nothing thinking and your perfectionism. Because as a writer, that kills me. You know, if I can't do it perfectly, I won't do it at all. And I've really had to come to the place of good enough is good enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
So just when
get it started, right? Get it going.
Absolutely. So if you can be curious about your thought patterns, and if you notice yourself starting to go into perfectionism thinking or all or nothing thinking or what if thinking, just like take a beat and notice it, and then see if you can, like you said, claim some of the scriptures that will help you think in a different way. That's a really long-term process. But just start noticing your perfectionist thinking or all or nothing thinking and question that. I guess would be my first thing. And then my third thing would be, make sure you have friends you can talk to about your struggles. Because I think that shame keeps us a prisoner.
Yeah.
And if we were to share what we were struggling with other people, we would find out we're not alone and we would get a lot of encouragement and support.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. Community is so important. It's like that verse in James that says, you know, confess your sins to one another and you'll be healed. And I'm like, I think there's a level of healing that none of us will enter into unless we're willing to be real with the people that are around us that love us. You know, there's healing. We're experiencing Jesus through each other, you know, we're experiencing that grace through. We become a means of grace, if you will, for and through each other. And I love that. And I also just, I love what you're saying about, you know, that all or nothing thinking and changing your mindset with that. Because, you know, in 2 Peter, it talks about you've already been given everything you need for life and godliness, and we participate in the divine nature through God's precious promises. And it's like his promises become the conduit of healing and of change in our life. But like you said, it is a day by day, moment by moment. You know, I changed it twice a day and three times I didn't. Okay. Tomorrow I'm going to try it again, you know, but there's that neuroplasticity is right. Things are changing in our brain. And all of a sudden our normal begins to be different. And would you say that, Dina, I mean, you've been on this journey a long time. Has your normal changed? Like your ability to recognize and combat and walk through now potentially triggering situations different than it was years ago?
Yes. Praise Jesus. Yes, that is true. But I will also say that when stress increases, like there's a tendency to go back to the old patterns. When stress increases, I have to really watch that and up my self-care. The things I'm doing to manage that. So, and be gracious to myself. You know, we all have to give ourselves grace in great measure. So,
yeah, absolutely.
The overall, yes, improvement.
Yeah, that's so good. Well, guys, what a joy it is to have you on here. And I love stories where we walk through things with the Lord and then God's using that greatest place of weakness in our life to become our greatest place of authority and strength, that, as Henry Nouwen would say, the wounded healer, right? Dina, you and I both know Bob Cagle and our camp director back then. He loved Henry Nouwen, and I started reading him back. Yeah, I love it. Don't you?
I was going to say, I read my very first Nouwen book at Camp Listen. So good.
Well, I think it's just that healthy view that, hey, God's walking with you through the things that you walk through in life. And it's from that, if you'll trust him along the way, that he's going to use those as your greatest place of strength and authority and healing in others. So I know folks are going to want to get this book. So we're going to have the link in the show notes, but if they're just on the internet, on the interwebs, where would they go to find the book?
Anywhere, really. I mean, all your online retailers have it. I mean, it's in all those places. Could find it in a Christian bookstore. I know it's popped up in a lot of those places too.
Good stuff. Well, guys, be sure to grab the book. You can click the link that's right here in the show notes. And Jason and Dina, thank you so much for sharing your story, for walking with others as they are endeavoring to see healing in their life. And just such a joy to be able to connect Jason and reconnect Dina with you. So thanks for being on the podcast today.
Thanks, Matt.
Good to be with you, Matt. Thank you.
Hey, thanks so much for spending a few minutes with me today on the podcast. Listen, I hope it's been a huge encouragement to you on your journey as an artist. Hey, also, before you leave, make sure to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss any of the other episodes of the Thriving Christian Artist Podcast. And also, be sure to connect with me on Facebook, Instagram, or at my website, which is matttommymentoring.com. Until next time, remember, you were created to thrive. Bye-bye.